Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 11 of Spy Family Season 2. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. Alright, so this is an episode I've been looking forward to for quite a while. Basically ever since I read the chapter that comprised it. So this is, maybe it would be wrong to call it an ongoing theme, but, Yor is going to have to contend with a challenger for Lloyd's affection. You know, first it was Fiona, otherwise known as Agent... Oh, was it Midnight? I think that was her code name. You know, she thought she was a better match for Lloyd than Yor was, and she was proven wrong. And, this time around, you know, Becky, she's been watching too many soap operas. And, oh dear. It's like she's dead set on this somehow working out in that sort of way that children don't understand how the real world works. You know, like her attendant here, you know, she's like, come on, don't commit adultery, but, I mean, I guess, the one thing everyone can sort of be happy about is that, like, there's no actual possibility that any trouble's going to come of this. You know, this is just a kid not understanding things. And, you know, Lloyd, the poor guy, he doesn't understand exactly what's going on, so he's only exacerbating things. Oh dear. You know, I can only imagine what those thoughts actually are, and, you know... Man. Anya's got her work cut out for her. And I think it's, rather telling that she immediately associates this behavior with Fiona. Like, that's not a charitable comparison. You know, while this is sort of like a funny premise, I feel like, if nothing else, this is more of an episode that serves as a cautionary tale about letting your kids watch too much TV. Now, just so it doesn't go unnoticed, you know, Lloyd mentioned that attendant, she has some military experience, you know, hint, hint, hint. I think it's been mentioned once or twice before that Becky's family and their company, you know, they're in all sorts of industries, like arms manufacturing. And, isn't that a profitable business when there's a Cold War threatening to boil over? You know, interesting, isn't it? Man, Becky has some interesting ideas about how reality will play out. And thinking about it, that's got to be like, that's something weird, you know, for your friend to become your stepmom. I mean, like, Becky, like, she seems amenable to the idea, you know, Anya would probably be fine with this. But, like, that's got to be super bizarre. Yeah, you know, like, I understand this is Becky's fantasy, but it doesn't bear thinking about, really. And I guess the worst part is, that Anya's actually considering this, you know, like, you know, maybe having Becky as a mother wouldn't be so bad. I mean, if nothing else, it would certainly be better than Fiona by a country mile. You know, I wonder how much of this Lloyd actually understands, you know? Like, I guess I'm just sort of assuming that he's kind of, oblivious to the whole thing. Alright, so there we have Anya do that smug face in the background. You know, they really seem to like slipping that in here and there, because I don't think that expression shows up as frequently as it seems to in this adaptation. Alright, so, I'm wondering if maybe Becky's telling, like, a bit of a fib to sort of, trick Lloyd or something like that. I mean, he's just focused on the mission right now. Any information he can glean about the Black Bell Corporation, the better. You know, especially given that, they're highly influential. I mean, he's just sort of asking all the pertinent questions for his job. Yeah, you know, he's thinking about the mission. There's no indication that they're trying to stoke a hot war or anything like that. But, you know, they would certainly stand to benefit from something like that, even if there is no indication presently. Now, I do think Becky is certainly overthinking things heavily. I'm glad that Anya realizes that this is sort of really out there behavior. So this is the good part right here. You know, this is nothing short of mental conflict. It's interesting that her demeanor has shifted so heavily, you know. And I feel like if Yor were less than, I guess, her characteristic level of oblivious, you know, this might be a bit of an issue. You know, I'm glad, in a sort of rare turn of events, Anya's the voice of reason here. It's like, you know, they're already married. There's only so much you can do, really. Yeah, you know, like, watching Becky tray off all this stuff that you saw on TV, like, that's, like, it's meant to be kind of funny, but it is a little unsettling, too. Now, it's interesting that Yor knows how much Becky was looking forward to this whole thing, even if she doesn't understand the real reasons. Alright, so, well, this is interesting. I'm wondering if maybe Yor suspects something and she's trying to, you know, stir the pot a little bit. That's not like her, usually, but, you never know. You know, Yuri is kind of cunning, too. It might run in the family. Alright, so once again, everybody's just sort of, everybody's sort of wrong, you know? Lloyd thinks he was prying too deeply and that a child wouldn't notice. Becky thinks he's just sort of playing with their heart, and, you know, everybody's just wrong. Oh, dear. I mean, I guess good on Yor for assuming the best possible interpretation that, you know, they were playing and having fun. I also find it very telling that Anya's most concerned about having, like, a personal world-class chef. Yeah, you know, this is why you shouldn't let your kids watch soap operas. Like, that's definitely not something a kid should be doing. And I guess, worst of all, Yor being the culinary menace that she is, it's not entirely impossible that Becky could be telling the truth. I mean, like, I feel like that's a rather critical mistake to steep tea leaves in alcohol rather than boiling water. But, you know, some alcohol looks like water, you know, how would you know, except for reading the label on the bottle? So I guess, you know, it's kind of like Yor's weaponized stupidity that she is now not willing to listen that this isn't acute alcohol poisoning. I mean, I feel like acute alcohol poisoning is characterized more by just, like, passing out. And, you know, speaking of passing out, Yor did get, like, smacked by a car, like, pretty hard. Like, that's just another demonstration of her superhuman stature to be, like, hit on the head by a car. Like, she left a dent, and she's, you know, pretty alright, all things considered. And, you know, it really does reflect well on her that she's not willing to scold Becky about this whole incident. You know, like, oh, thank God there's not, you know, a little kid dying of alcohol poisoning. You know, I guess all's well that ends well. Yeah, you know, Yor is doing nothing wrong here, but I feel like Becky's also learning the wrong lesson. Alright, so I guess this is, reconciliation in a sense. You know, maybe Becky's realizing that you can't use figurative language with Yor, you have to speak literally. Yeah, you know, I guess that's another thing. Like, they can't actually talk too much about their circumstances. You know, the idea here is that she doesn't want to be found out as an assassin or investigated for being a spy, so, you know, she had to get married. But that's not exactly politic to say out loud. Okay, so, you know, she hasn't given up in the end. You know, she's sort of latched onto the idea that, Lloyd likes strong women, but, really, I don't think there's any universe where, like, a six-year-old outperforms a grown adult. Much less, Yor. I mean, she's been shown to, like, shift cars by kicking them. Like, that's, I think that definitely borders on, like, you know, highly improbable or physically impossible for most people. I mean, looking at it, that's like a sledgehammer. Those things are, they're not super heavy, but, like, the thing that makes lifting a hammer hard to do is, like, it's a lever arm, you know? Because, like, even if the head of the hammer only weighs, like, 5 pounds, you know, it's how you grip it that makes all the difference. Speaking of which, to just sort of swing it one-handed like that, like, that's certainly no mean feat either. Oh my gosh, yeah, you know, he's totally entranced. He's not astounded by the sheer display of destructive power to sort of smash that thing to rubble. Oh boy, I feel bad for that guy. You know, that's basically his livelihood, and Yor just smashed it with a hammer. And you know, once again, Becky's learning the wrong lesson here. Because I feel like you can't just get to be like Yor through training alone. You know, there are like hints here and there about genetic experiments. You know, Anya and Ban being two of them. But I feel like Yor's not exactly exempt either. You know. And so, you know, now they're learning martial arts. It's probably not going to end well, I'd imagine. And just in case we forget who else totally lost to Yor, we have Fiona. Nightfall. That was her code name. Okay. So, you know, it seems like wherever Lloyd goes, he's sort of like the center of attention of, well, everyone, really, like his co-workers. Now, we all know that Fiona has a big ol' crush on him. So, naturally, she'll do anything she can to get in his good graces. And poor Lloyd, like, he doesn't understand what exactly is at play here. Naturally, he'll just think of her as a competent co-worker rather than a romantic interest. So here we go. You know, Fiona's willing to take on an extraordinary amount of work all on her own, presumably to help out Lloyd. You know, it's interesting that the handler's saying, like, you know, hey, I don't want to overwork you guys, even though it seems like that is kind of the case, mainly because there seems to be a shortage of field agents. But Fiona, at the very least, she's willing to overwork herself for Lloyd. You know, that's not nothing. So I'm wondering what exactly Fiona's role is at the hospital. So it seems like she's sort of like an office worker or something like that. You know, it is always nice to see like a bit of spy work now and again. And I do think the sort of comparison between what Lloyd and Anya got up to on the boat and what Fiona was forced to do, you know, it kind of makes it seem like Lloyd's a bit of a crap out, you know, tending to children and all that, but I don't know. I feel like he really drew the short end of the stick mission-wise. He's in a tough spot, the poor guy. And, you know, it certainly is rewarding, but not in the way that a job usually is, I'd imagine. And you know what? I think, aside from just the point of comparison, I think this is a clever little way to reuse little bits of footage here and there to save budget, you know. I definitely applaud a clever reuse of footage. So, you know, I guess it makes sense. Fiona hasn't given up on that whole wife business. You know, she's just hoping that by being hyper-competent in her job, that, you know, maybe Lloyd will finally realize that she is better suited. But, you know, lest we forget, she was beaten at tennis. And everybody knows that tennis is the most important indicator of a relationship. And I guess, not to put too fine a point on things, but, as of this episode, the record now stands Yor 2 and Homewreckers 0. So despite working as hard as she possibly can, you know, I don't think Fiona's chances are very good. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I like this overlap of dialogue and internal monologue. Although, you know, I do like the contrast between internal monologue and what she actually says. You know, she's not very communicative. So I'm wondering what exactly the handler's goal is here, because she always seems to be up to something, too. Sort of hinting that, you know, like, hey, Fiona filled in for you and she did a good job. So, you know, Lloyd brought her a souvenir. I guess he kind of has to, but, yeah, you know, everybody's just misunderstanding each other. You know, Fiona's undoubtedly, like, on the verge of exploding, but, you know, she certainly made it seem like she was upset, and Lloyd got that impression. I can only imagine that it's some, like, little thing like that skeleton keychain, but no doubt she will treasure it. Yeah, you know, that's something, alright, sort of skipping down the hallway and then, regaining her composure just in time not to be discovered. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.